So do you think you have a strong faith? Are you confident in your faith? The move mountains kind of faith. You read the Bible, you attend church service, you participate, visit with other members, maybe even do something extra like clean the building, shovel a path. Maybe you attend every service. What kind of faith do you have? Are you willing to bear persecution for your faith? I'm not talking about people making fun of us for doing worldly things or not doing worldly things. I'm not talking about disrespect necessarily. Are you willing to die for your faith? Have you ever really thought about that? Of course, many of us would say yes right away that we'd be willing to die for our faith, right? Our faith in Jesus and our Heavenly Father. What if your family was threatened with death? How strong will your faith be then? Without being put in that situation, many of us would say yes. We are fortunate for the most part. The times, the country we live in, although not immune to modern persecution, we still need to keep our guard up. Sometimes the way this country is heading, serious persecution could be forthcoming, right? Seems like it. How strong is your faith? Secular historians have written that persecution not only happened in the first century, but even into the fourth century A.D. Nero, around 64 A.D., is well known for his insanity and his tactics for persecution. According to Roman historian Tacitus, besides being put to death, they were made to serve as amusements. He called it a deadly superstition. Superstition had a different connotation back then, meaning something foreign or different in a negative way. Tacitus also wrote, they were clad in the hides of beasts and torn to death by dogs. Others were crucified. Others set on fire to serve to illuminate the night when daylight failed. Nero had thrown open his grounds for the display and was putting on a show in the circus, where he mingled with the people in the dress of a charioteer or drove about in his chariot. All this gave rise to a feeling of pity, even toward men whose guilt merited the most exemplary punishment. For it was felt that they were being destroyed, not for the public good, but to satisfy the cruelty of an individual. The execution of Christians continued into the centuries to follow, calling it absurd, the forbidden religion. If they didn't denounce Christianity and worship false gods, they were punished and or executed. How strong is your faith? There are many documented historical facts that you can read on your own. Persecution does exist today in many parts of the world. According to BBC News, within the last year, according to a report, political correctness played a part. There are genocidal acts against Christians, and Christianity faces being wiped out from parts of the Middle East. The attacks in Sri Lanka, China's church crackdown, even attacks in churches in our own country, including a Church of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. We are under attack in many different ways. How strong is your faith? We are at war. Are you ready for battle? Are you a Christian soldier? Faith has always been an expensive commitment. There are sacrifices like, well, I'd rather go fishing, but I'll go to services. I'm really tired after work, but I'll go to services. Those things may seem like a high price to us, but that's not the expensive commitment I'm talking about. When we really think about it, those aren't expensive commitments at all, are they? In fact, should those even be considered sacrifices, really? Tonight, let's look at some great examples of faith. Think about Abraham's faith. Let's turn to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 7. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. And Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, To your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. God told Abraham to leave his country, his relatives, go to a land unfamiliar, a potentially hostile land. Do we read that Abraham said, Oh, but God, do I have to? My roots are here. I'm comfortable here. My family's here. Now I have to pack up some things. I don't like moving. Plus, I'm 75. Maybe somebody younger should go. Of course, he didn't say that. He did what God told him to do. We read about God's promise to Abraham. He's going to be a very important person, a real VIP. What about us today? We go to unfamiliar territory, potentially hostile, right? What does the Great Commission say? Mark's account reads, Go into all the world. And what? Preach the gospel. What is God's promise to us? Let's turn to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we remain faithful, we have the promise of eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't question God. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. Earlier in the chapter, we see Abraham telling Abimelech that Sarah is his sister, which isn't entirely untrue. Let's read starting in verse 8. So Abimelech arose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their hearing, and the men were greatly frightened. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, What have you done to us, and how have I sinned against you, that you have brought on me and my kingdom? A great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said to Abraham, What have you encountered? What have you done? What have you encountered that you have done this thing? And Abraham said, Because I thought surely there is no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she actually is my sister, the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came about when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, This is the kindness which you will show to me. Everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother. Abimelech then took sheep and oxen and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham and restored his wife Sarah to him. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before you. Settle wherever you please. And to Sarah he said, Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, it is your vindication before all who are with you, and before all men you are cleared. And Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maids, so that they bore children. We read that Sarah is, well, his half-sister. So what's the lesson here? Abraham intentionally misled Abimelech. So I ask, when you sin, is your tendency to cover up or confess? Do you practice the truth that an apology must sometimes be accompanied by restitution? Let's look at Genesis 22. The account of Abraham preparing to sacrifice Isaac. Starting in verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have heard because you have obeyed my voice. What are you willing to sacrifice for God? Getting up early on Sunday morning instead of sleeping in to be here for Bible study? After a long day at work, you're tired, would rather go home. Do you sacrifice that extra time to worship God on a Wednesday night for 45 minutes to an hour? In what ways has your life demonstrated that you will not allow anything to come before God? We have many examples we can learn from Abraham of what to do and what not to do. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel 3. King Nebuchadnezzar had made a golden image and commanded everybody to worship it. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 3. Verses 4 and 5 tell us that whenever they heard certain instruments, they were to fall down and worship the golden image. Everybody. Peoples, nations, men of all languages. And if they don't, they'll be cast into a furnace of blazing fire, verse 6. What happened in verse 10? Three very important men were ratted out, right? They were Jews appointed by the king over the administration of the province of Babylon, verse 12. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship the false god. So the king ordered the furnace to be turned up seven times more and bound them. It was so hot the king's men that brought him up there were killed. Let's read what happened starting in verse 24. The Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and stood up in haste. He responded and said to his high officials, "Was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "Certainly, O king." And he answered and said, "Look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. He responded and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. And the satraps and the prefects, the governors and the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. Not only were they alive, but there wasn't even a burnt smell on them. Who was that fourth person? King Nebuchadnezzar saw someone like the Son of God. God will deliver his people and Jesus saves. What are you willing to do for your faith? Let's turn to Acts chapter 7. Several of the men of this congregation have met with the folks next door, even attended some of the local religious groups during their service to teach them. Some of the highlights, they weren't stoned, so that's good. These groups told our men of God that they were teaching false things, that they were blasphemous in some cases, and told not to come back. The men of God and our congregation that went to these locations should be commended for standing their ground and standing up for God's word. Thinking back to my sermon from last month regarding examples, these men are examples and we can look to. Another great example of faith in the Bible is Stephen in Acts 7. Stephen is preaching the word and telling it like it is, no holds barred. They didn't want to hear it. Let's read verse 51. "You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did." We read that what happened to Stephen in the next few verses, these religious people got so angry, and I use that term loosely, religious people, and they don't want to hear the truth. Let's read 54 through the end of the chapter, because I want you to get the visual of this account. This is so descriptive and vivid. Luke did an excellent job telling us what happened, and it's packed with emotion. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears, and they rushed upon him with one impulse. And when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witness laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they went on stoning Stephen as he called upon the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. What are you willing to do for your faith? Are you willing to teach, no matter the cost? Job. Job suffered losses beyond imagination. His friends accused him of secretly sinning against God. His wife urged him to curse God and die. Yet Job made this confident saying in Job 13:15, Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Continuing in 16, This also will be my salvation. For a godless man may not come before his presence. Listen carefully to my speech, and let my declaration fill your ears. Behold now, I have prepared my case. I know that I will be vindicated. Do you have the confidence in your faith like Job? When things don't seem to be going our way, when our faith starts to get weak, we need to remember Job. There's always someone somewhere who has it worse than we do. Then it kind of makes our situation not seem quite as rough. Rahab. Bet you didn't expect that one, huh? Joshua 2. Let's turn to Joshua 2. Rahab is a bit unusual to be in this group we've highlighted tonight. This next excerpt I grabbed from the La Vista Church of Christ. What do we know about Rahab? She was a harlot, a prostitute, who lied to hide the spies. Let us also consider in James 2:14-26, James tells us that she was an example of a working faith when she took in the Israelite spies and sent them out secretly. Her action was listed as an example similar to Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac in verses 21 and 25 of James chapter 2. She's also listed in the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11:31. What is not acceptable from Rahab? Well, you've heard it said that lying is acceptable in certain situations. Sometimes you have to choose between the lesser of two evils. Sometimes you have to choose the greater of two goods. I ask you, was she commended for these things? Of course not. What was it that Rahab was commended for? James commends her for receiving the spies, taking them in, and for sending them out a different way. The Hebrew writer commends her welcoming the spies in peace. Notice that neither commends her lies to hide the spies. That particular event was not commendable, just as we would not expect the Bible to commend her because she was a harlot, though it is mentioned in both accounts. Consider what she did. Joshua 2:10 and 11. Let's go back to Joshua 2, chapter 10, verse 11. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And when we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven and above, in heaven above and on earth beneath. She heard the stories of this nation that left Egyptian captivity by crossing a great sea on dry land. She heard the stories of how two kings had fallen and their nations destroyed trying to stop them. She knew that the whole city was in terror of the Israelites coming their way. She was not an Israelite. She did not see the miracles. They were only stories. Yet she believed in the God of the Israelites. She believed that he was the one and only God. She asked for their pledge to spare her father's household. She believed that their promise would save her family. Before she even talked to these men about sparing her family, she was willing to go against her king. When the king demanded the men, she sent the king and his men on a wild chase. True, she lied, but then she grew up as a pagan and a prostitute. She had heard of the God of the Israelites, but she had not had an opportunity to learn of God's laws. In a way, we can liken this to maybe a new convert who is still affected by worldly ways or from what they were previously taught. That does not excuse her lies or harlotry, but it does explain her actions. What would have happened to Rahab if her house was searched and the spies were found? She risked death for her belief. Think about something else. She hung a scarlet cord from her window that all could see for 18 days before the Israelites came. Her extended family had to be there when the city was conquered. What would have happened if any of them told an authority before the city fell? Since she did not know when the army would come, her family had to be there for several weeks. Think, too, that when the Israelites came to the city, they did nothing but march around the walls for 6 days. Rahab would not have known the plan. She would not know that on the seventh day, walls would fall. What if she gave up? Faith has always been an expensive commitment. Would you be faithful if it meant your life? Matthew 10:32-39. No one comes between you and your God. Romans 10:8-10. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith, which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The idea of confession. Acts 21:13, Paul was ready to die for his faith. What does Revelation 2:10 say? Let's turn over to Revelation 2:10. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Would you hold on to your faith, even to death? Notice that none of these were secret beliefs, but confidence in God that led to action. Rahab had her flaws, but it was her powerful faith in a God she'd only heard about that saved her family from destruction. Joshua 6:17, 21-23. Will you show a faith like Rahab? Matthew 16:24-26, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Are you ready to have a faith like Abraham, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Stephen, Job, Rahab, and many others that we didn't mention? What about Jesus? Are you ready to have the faith of our ultimate example? Maybe your faith isn't as strong as it should be. Maybe you feel you haven't been the example you should be to your friend, your family, your friends, your co-workers. Now is the time to come forward, and we'll pray for you and with you. Maybe you're ready to be baptized, buried with Christ in the watery grave, and arise anew. We can help with that tonight. Whatever the need, please come as we stand and sing.